8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are coming to you guys live today. Hopefully you guys are having a great day. If you haven't already, guys, go ahead, smash the like and subscribe button below. It really helps our channel out with the YouTube algorithm to make sure that many people are getting updated on the most recent tech news, deals, software updates, privacy updates, product rollouts, product launches, you name it, anything and everything tech. All right, guys, if you haven't already, guys, as well, please follow us on our podcast channel, Electronic News Network. We're available on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts as well, guys. Please, guys, also visit us on our website, electronicadditions.net, where we have exclusive prices for our EAD members, our EAD club members. You can definitely check out our EAD club member subscription information on our website. It's on the top tab where it says EAD Club. You can definitely check that out and see the perks and benefits there as well too. All right, guys, but without further ado, let's get started for today. We are taking our news off of our LinkedIn page today. Our LinkedIn page is called Electronic Editions. We'll leave links in the description to our LinkedIn page and our other social media sites pages as well, guys. All right, so without further ado, let's get started for today, guys. We have Polaris teases an all-electric Ranger first in its collaboration with Zero Motorcycles, guys. So the first electric power sports vehicle is to emerge from the new collaboration between Polaris and Zero Motorcycles. Will be a battery-powered Ranger utility side-by-side. The companies didn't provide any details about the vehicle's range, battery pack, or price, but they did say the production on the new UTV, or utility terrain vehicle, was expected to start in December of 2021, guys. So it looks like that this powerhouse train, Ranger, all electric, looking sexy, is looking to be expected to produce in production at the end of 2021, guys. So this is going to be a big game changer, guys. And obviously, guys, if you want to learn more, you guys want to check out more pictures, and probably more videos, go ahead, follow us on LinkedIn, click into the article. You can definitely learn more there too. Moreover, guys, we got your pricing on gaming, guys. So some of you guys, you know, there's a lot, you know, you guys see there's lots of gaming consoles coming out. You know, there's the PS5, there's the Xbox Series X, the new Nintendo Switch. But maybe you guys aren't calculating the cost of how much it costs to keep gaming, right? So here's how much you're truly spending on gaming now. Here's pretty much the breakdown. As you can see from this chart, you can see that to the left, you have the Xbox Series X, the game console with two games costs around $418, and with the PS5, it costs around $518, could be a little bit more. Most likely for these are probably right now gonna be a little bit more since, you know, it's kind of hard to get them. Once they started launching, it's still a little bit hard to get them, but they're starting to come more back on the shelves, which is good. Still pretty pricey though, right? So to determine gaming's true cost, you need to take into account that almost everything is online and multiplayer these days, right? So at a minimum, that's $60 per year, right? We know on the PlayStation Network, I know that it's $60 a year, which is not that bad of a deal, instead of paying $10 a month, right? And also for the, similar for Xbox, right? You need a super fast internet connection, which they estimate starts at $1,020 per year, right? So if you're paying for internet, Wi-Fi, and stuff like that. You also need extra storage for your game. So 1 terabyte for Xbox is $220 and $230 for the PlayStation, right? So, you know, that's how much it would cost extra on top of the actual price if you want a 1 terabyte. And I think the 1 terabyte, you know, obviously, you know, if you're a gamer, if you're a true gamer, you download lots of games, you need space, get the 1 terabyte, even though it does cost a little extra. But hey, if you can afford it, go for it, right? So finally, they factor in the TV. This is a this is, you know, a bit weird, right? So it's not like owning a 4K TV is exclusive to gamers after all. But that said, 4K does seem like a prerequisite for a decent view for the virtual gaming fields, right? So factor in almost $1,400 minimum for a TV that does the job. And that's probably on the cheaper side. Yeah, $1,400 for a 4K TV, guys. I can definitely say, you know, honest of a shadow of a doubt, that is definitely on the cheaper side for a 4K TV. If you can get a 4K TV for around, you know, $1,000 or $1,400, that's a pretty good steal, right? Lots of 4Ks and even 8K TVs are going for at least $2,000, $3,000, $4,000. You know what I mean? Obviously, you guys saw the OLED, I think the mini LED TV, which actually 162-inch, guys, remember we looked at that, cost over $250,000, almost close to up towards $500,000, guys, just for a 162-inch TV. Obviously, you're not going to be on the extreme side, depending on your budget, depending on where you live and what you want, right? But, you know, we know that gaming in general, if you're just starting from scratch, you just moved into a new apartment, you're looking to buy a TV, you're looking to buy games, maybe you're looking to buy speakers along with that to go with the sound surround system, it's going to be pretty pricey, guys. So definitely factor in those costs. Another thing that I wanted to talk about with this topic too, guys, is the fact that gaming, right, it does cost a lot, right? But there's new gaming streaming features, right? Such as, you know, such as was the Google Stadia, such as now Amazon Luna, guys. If you watch our previous episodes, you can definitely, you know, I believe it's the episode before this one as well. We talked about Amazon Luna, or the one before that episode, I believe 31 or 32, we talk about Amazon Luna. You could also see, we talk about Amazon Luna on our Electronic Editions blog on our website. We talk about Amazon Luna, right? Those streaming services are very, very cheap, right? So they're going for about $5, you know, $5 to $15. So, you know, pretty much $20 a month, right? If you get complete packages and everything like that, you know, you just need the controller, you hop on a network, you know, and you don't need to download anything. You browse the gaming selection and you just play, and the graphics are spectacular, right? So we're entering a new way of gaming, especially with these virtual online gaming streaming services, you know, that are coming out and popping up very, very popular. And so you know, many people, there's an audience that will still buy those very expensive consoles. Don't get me wrong. Me personally, I will always probably still buy consoles, but I will not negate and neglect the fact that there is gaming streaming services such as Amazon Luna and such as, you know, Google Stadia, and even Xbox streaming app. You know, they have a streaming services where you can just play, browse games, and just play, right, on hotspot, on the network, right? And it's just that simple, right? So definitely take those costs into consideration, guys. If you want to learn more about this too, go ahead, follow us on LinkedIn, click into the article, and you guys can definitely learn more. All right, guys. Moving forward, guys, we got Pokemon. News on Pokemon. It might be famous for its games, but it also has some great gadgets, right? So as you can see, we have the Pokemon Ball here, Nintendo Switch. Lots of Pokemon games are on Nintendo. We know that they're on Nintendo Switch, on GameCube, other Nintendo devices as well. Pokemon might be renowned for its cooperative gameplay, delightful spin-offs, and making an intimidating genre approach, right? But the franchise also has a long history of creative and interesting gadgets. The series is bursting with technology. The original in-game Pokédex, the Pokédex, clearly takes an inspiration from early Palm Pilot-like devices. For example, and if you think about them, Pokeballs are technological marvels. They somehow transform living creatures into particles that can be transported across the world. And even the TV PCB shows, the Pokeballs can even shrink. We know that to be true, right? So it's not all that surprising that there have been many Pokemon themed toys and hardware too. So very, very cool, guys. As you know, you guys are Pokemon fans. You guys know that there are lots of cool, neat gadgets. I know if you're a Pokemon fan, I know probably everybody has this gadget right here on the screen, the little Pokeballs. Very, very cool. I know when I was a kid, I used to have Pokemon cards. We used to just play Pokemon, Digio, was it Digito or Digio or whatever, but also Yu-Gi-Oh and stuff like that. Very, very nice. Pokemon's amazing. Moreover, guys, we got the Stadia version of Terraria, right, is back in production, right, after developer reconciles with Google. So many of us, we know that Google Stadia has stopped the production, or Google has stopped the production of the Google Stadia. They're focused on other parts of their brand, other parts of their business, right? Other parts of, you know, fixing up certain software updates, you know, developing different projects, right? So it looks like they're, you know, the version of the Terraria, which is a version of the Google Stadia, is called the Terraria, is back in production, right? So what does that mean, right? What does that mean? Right, so earlier this month, Terraria co-creator Andrew Spinks announced that his studio Relogic would cancel a Google Stadia port. However, the developer announced that Studio port is now back in development, right? So as we said before, guys, remember? So as you may have noticed, we have a ton of issues to kick off the year, stemming from the locking down of Regitit's entire Google account in early January. Relogic said in a recent Terraria forum post, after a month of pushing and with the immense support of our fans, Google has finally reached out and was able to provide a lot of transparency around the situation and to restore access to all of our accounts. Right, so that is amazing. So it looks like this version of Terraria is back in development. After publication, a Google spokesperson confirmed to The Verge that a Stadia port for Terraria was currently in development. On February 8th, Spinks fired off a series of tweets expressing frustration that he was locked out of his Google accounts for weeks, which included losing access to his Gmail and his Google Play account. Spinks first noted that he lost access to his accounts on or around January 16th, about a couple months ago, guys. Relogic has yet to announce when Terraria will launch on Google Stadia, but the game being back in development is good news for fans of Google's cloud gaming service. On Friday, two reports from Bloomberg and Wired shed light on some of Google's failures in building Stadia. And earlier this month, Google announced it was closing its in-house, you know, development studio, right? So this is amazing news, guys. So this Terraria is back in production. So as soon as we get more news on this, guys, too, we'll definitely keep you guys updated. If you guys want to learn more about this too, guys, go ahead, follow us on LinkedIn, click into the article, and you can definitely learn more there. Moreover, guys, we got the Redis Chromebook for 2021 can now be yours, guys, right? The red Chromebook, as you see from this photo, it looks often spiffy and awfully clean. Samsung latest Chrome OS laptop, the Galaxy Chromebook 2, is now available for purchase at Best Buy. The Chromebook 2 was first announced at CES in January and features a new QLED display, the 360 degree hinge, and striking red paint job. It starts at $550 for a Celeron model and goes up to $700 for a Core i3 version, putting it at a higher end of Chromebooks, guys. As you can see, you know, the prices make sense, but the color is just wow, guys. If you're watching this video right now, you know that this color, it looks spectacular. You know, this red color just, and the display looks amazing. Look at the display. Display looks amazing, guys. Amazing, 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 guys. You can buy this at Best Buy for $550, guys. very nice price, especially for the like the Chromebook and the speed and the display that you're getting. Very nice price, guys. I'm even thinking of buying this myself, honestly, just looking how cool this looks. You can probably do lots of work on here, looking very, very cool. But honestly, it says that it has the i3 processor, which is a little bit slow. I know i3s are kind of slow. i5 are a bit faster, much better. i3s, I don't know, it could get, you know, it'll get some jobs done if you don't have a lot of stuff to download and to work with, but i3 a little bit slow. That's the only thing that would be a downside to this that I would see, but not too shabby, not too shabby. And that's what it is, guys, honestly, right? So that price is the most significant thing about the Chromebook 2 because it's considerably less than the Galaxy Chromebook that debuted a year ago, right? So the older Chromebook had a 4K OLED screen and came with a stylus, neither of which you'll find with the new model, but it also cost just under $1,000 when it came out. In our review, we found despite gorgeous screen and striking paint job, the original Google Chromebook didn't justify its cost, right? Particularly thanks to abysmal battery life. So this is not bad. Starting at $550, not too bad. $700 for a Core i3 version. This is definitely on the higher end of Chromebooks. Honestly, I would definitely like to definitely test it out just to see how fast it is, see if there's an i5 version, see if the i3 has a little bit more torque so it can go faster and not have lag times on downloads. But overall, guys, I love the color, I love the design, I love the display. It looks great, guys. If you want to learn more about this, go ahead, follow us on LinkedIn, click into the article and you can learn more. Moreover, guys, we have more news on Lime, guys. You guys know Lime, right? It says it'll spend $50 million on a huge e-bike expansion, which is going to be dope, guys. For you guys that know Lime with their electric scooters, you know, back in 2017, right? So Lime is getting back to its roots. So the scooter company, formerly known as Lime Bike Center, will invest $50 million to grow its shared electric bike network, including adding a new model of bike and doubling the number of cities in which it operates. Lime got its start with shared bikes, only to quickly pivot after Bird that introduced the concept of dockless electric scooters in 2017. The company dropped the bike from its name and started phasing out its bike in 2019. But the following year, Lime acquired bike share company Jump from Uber, guys. That is very interesting. And suddenly, bikes were back on the menu. So this is a very big jump for Lime. It's not just about renting out electric scooters and, you know, going and, you know, having fun with them or doing a little bit work with them or whatever. Now they're doing e-bikes, which is really cool. So in the summertime, right, if you're looking to make some extra cash and, you know, you don't really like working too much in the office, you like doing some deliveries, borrow an e-bike, borrow a Lime bike, probably at a good price, and go ahead and you know, ride it around, start doing deliveries, right? So it's an e-bike, it looks really cool. I bet they're gonna make them really nice too, guys. So very, very awesome by Lime, very good move by Lime. So we'll keep you guys updates on once more bikes drop as well. If you wanna learn more updates too, guys, go ahead and you can click into this article, right? Follow us on LinkedIn, click into this article to learn more. Moreover, guys, we got new AI deep nostalgia brings old photos back, including very old ones, to life. So an AI-powered service called Deep Nostalgia that animates still photos has become the main character on Twitter this fine Sunday as people try to create the creepiest fake video possible, apparently, right? So the Deep Nostalgia service offered by online genealogy company MyHeritage uses AI license from D-ID to create the effect that's a still photo is moving. It's kinda like the iOS live photos feature, which adds a few seconds of video to help smartphone photographers find the best shot, right? So this AI service, guys, right, called Deep Nostalgia. So that's pretty cool, right? So that would be interesting. Imagine bringing, you know, having a photo of your grandfather, your grandmother. You know, you're able to see kind of how they moved for at least, you know, a good 5 to 10 seconds, how they even looked, how they moved, how they coordinated. That's pretty cool, right? So this is what this AI system is offering, which is amazing. And it, again, like they said, it's kind of like, you know, if you guys have iPhones, or I don't know if this happens on Android, but I know with iPhone it does. You take a photo, you take a selfie, it's that live photo, right? You take a live photo, and once you start going back into the photo section in your gallery on your phone, you can definitely see that the live photo indeed does move. And it does, you know, you see yourself holding the phone, blinking your eyes for a little bit, looking around before, you know, or doing whatever gesture you were doing before you actually captured that photo, right? So, you know, this is a very, very cool device. Very, very interesting. And, you know, definitely check this out, guys. Deep Nostalgia. This is going to be a game changer, right? So it brings old photos, including very old ones, to life, right? So imagine your great-great-grandfather, you're able just to see how he would move in like 5-10 seconds. How did he look like? How did he move his face? How was he? Was he angry? Was he mad? Was he always yelling? Or was he just chill? Or, you know, how, you know, it's pretty cool, guys. So definitely, if you want to learn more, check it out, guys. Follow us on LinkedIn, click into the article, and you can definitely learn more, guys. Moreover, we got news on the new Apple iPad Pro 2021 might be as powerful as the latest Macs, guys. Very, very cool. We're expecting the new iPad Pro 2021 to be powerful, but it could even be more powerful than we thought it would be, right? As the latest leak suggests that its chipset could be as capable as the M1 used in the latest Macs. That is huge. So that means the newest iPad could be as powerful as the latest MacBooks, which is going to be a game changer for lots of people that love using iPad, or even have considered of using iPad, but probably never have even gotten an iPad. So that's according to Mark Gurman, who has a great track record for Apple leaks. Specifically, he claims the upcoming slate will have a new processor that's on par with the M1 chip. That would presumably mean an even better chipset than the A14 Bionic found in the iPhone 12 range. So Gunman additionally claims that the larger of the two upcoming iPad Pro models, which is based on past form, will probably have a 12.9-inch screen, right? So pretty similar to the past one. We'll have a mini LED display. So very, very good display, guys. And remember, the mini LED display is the same display we've seen in the last Electronic News Network episode, where we saw a 162-inch mini LED display on his TV, and the display was absolutely gorgeous. The TV was huge, guys, right? Same kind of display. This is something that has been rumored a number of times, and we'd be, according to Gurman, make the slate slightly thicker, but allow for brighter screen and far better contrast ratio, right? So this is going to be huge, guys. And if you want to learn more about this new iMac information too, go ahead, follow us on LinkedIn, click into the article, and you can learn more there too. More news on the Oculus Quest 2, guys. Could get 120 hertz of experimental refresh rate very soon, right? So this could be a good thing. This could be, I know a refresh rate, I know another type of VR headset, something had a refresh rate. We went over this on previous episodes too. It looks like the Oculus Quest 2 is looking to do the same thing. So the updates for the Oculus Quest 2 keep rolling in, making one of the best virtual reality headsets even better. Just last week, the VR headset saw an update that would better track furniture in your play space. And now there's news of refresh rate improvements coming to the Quest 2, guys. So the Quest 2, you're coming for improvements in the Quest 2, guys. That is amazing. That is very, very awesome. So more refresh rate, better graphics, less lag time, better gaming experience, guys, right? So this is going to be huge. If you guys have a Quest 2 already, or if you don't, or you're looking to get one, don't worry, guys. It's coming out with a refresh rate, guys, right? So let's see. Let's see a little bit more about this information. Kind of what does that really mean, right? So Andrew Bosworth, VP of Facebook Reality Labs, had previously teased a 120 hertz mode coming to the headset, but that's now looking likely to arrive sooner rather than later, as spotted by Radio Road to VR, right? Oculus tipster Aija Z states that the feature has already been added to the developer roadmap for the system as early as March 2021. The 120 hertz support may enter an experimental beta stage, with developers able to test their applications at refresh rate and headset right before a wider rollout of the Oculus Quest 2 user base at large, right? So having already jumped from 72 hertz to 90 hertz default, 120 hertz would likely push the Quest 2 built-in processor hardware to its limits in all but the most simple games, right? But if implemented in the Oculus Link features, the part of the Oculus platform which allows gamers to hook their headsets up to a souped-up gaming PC, it could prove a very effective pushing even demanding games to smoother, more comfortable motion without limitations of battery life or mobile CPU and GPU limits, guys. So this is going to be a game changer for Oculus Quest 2, guys. So definitely keep up. We'll definitely keep you guys updated on the latest updates as soon as we get them in. But if you guys want to learn more about this too, go ahead, follow us on LinkedIn, click into the article, and you guys can learn more there too. Moreover, we have Microsoft Surface Duo could see Microsoft making big upgrades to its dual screen smartphone, right? So Microsoft Surface Duo has been rumored to be underway since July 2020. And the latest from the grapevine suggests that it will be a 5G device. So the purported sequel to Microsoft's dual screen phone, codenamed Zeta, apparently will benefit an improved camera and will also support 5G connectivity, as mentioned, going by a report from Windows Latest, right? So this is going to be very, very, very cool, guys, right? So it's going to be making big updates, guys. So definitely check this out, and we'll get, you know, more news. We'll definitely keep you guys updated on these updates as well too, guys. But really, like, you know, what does that mean, right? So the new tech site spotted these details in some Microsoft job listings. One job ad for software firmware engineer in Taiwan, which went live back in September of 2020, is now closed. Described jobs responsibility including designing, coding RF drivers, RF board, including LTE and 5G technologies, mobile operator certifications, PTCRB, GSF certifications on Microsoft Surface Duo devices. That certainly seems to indicate the 5G support is something which is planned for the next incarnation of Surface Duo, or at least that's what Microsoft is looking towards. Remember, heavy pinches of salt all around, including regarding whether Surface 2 will ever see the day of light again, of course, right? So another job listing points that the points to camera improvements, right? So specifically around the use of machine learning and AI on incoming Android-powered Surface products, right? So the ad for a principal Android camera system architect engineer talks about ability to deliver great customer experience on our future Surface products, right? And mentions you will define customer experience through expert end-to-end camera pipeline knowledge of Android platform on QC Qualcomm processors. The candidate will develop pipeline architect features that integrate output on the hardware ISP and supplemental image processing algorithm, utilizing computational photography and AI machine learning algorithms for various partners. Wow, that was a mouthful, guys, but we know that the camera will be popping. It sounds like this position is all about driving forward with image processing chops, then working with third-party app developers in the delivery of image processing features, right? So all towards an end goal of improving camera performance with a SQL dual screen device. We still don't have an indication of when rumored Surface Duo 2 might launch and whether we might expect it this year, if indeed it is the pipeline from Microsoft, right? So that seems amazing, guys. So we'll definitely keep you guys updated on these rollouts, but that is the major improvements that you can see on the new Surface Pro 2. If you want to learn more about this too, go ahead, follow us on LinkedIn, click into the article, and you can definitely learn more, guys. All right, guys, and in today's world where knowledge is the keyboard and it is certainly not difficult to find information, it is even too easy for that matter. Still, it's quite different from when it comes to exact technological information. So Electronic Edition created a podcast channel under its name, Electronic News Network. EAD is a leading online store that aims to provide you with modern devices and a modern way of life. Electronic Edition's online store is time-saving, boundless, cost-effective, trouble-free, and above all, just smart. Definitely, guys, go ahead, follow us on our podcast channel, Electronic News Network, guys. We're available on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher as well, guys. And definitely check out our website again, electronicaditions.net. Moreover, guys, you can learn more about Amazon Luna, the new gaming streaming service, at our EAD blog, right? So Amazon, which now produces video games after the acquisition of several studios, has entered cloud gaming with its new service called Amazon Luna. Amazon therefore joins Sony, Microsoft with the Game Pass, Google and its Stadia, and many other market players. Gamers can experience the Amazon Luna on Windows, macOS, and iOS, but not yet on Android. But the best part is that the gamers can experience Amazon Luna on Fire TV. The Fire TV allows users subscribe to Amazon's Prime service to enjoy Netflix, Molo TV, YouTube, and of course, Amazon Prime Video on any TV with a small HDMI stick. This is very, very convenient, guys. If you want to learn more about the Amazon Luna, guys, go ahead, go to our website, electronicaditions.net. You can go in our blog section. You can definitely learn more about Amazon there too, guys. All right, guys, that is going to be the news for today, guys. There is definitely more news on our LinkedIn page. So if you want to go ahead, follow us on LinkedIn. We'll leave a link in the description. Follow us on our Facebook page as well, as we have different types of news, more about product rollouts, product releases, product updates, gaming releases, and stuff of that nature. And, you know, our other social media channels as well, guys. Hopefully you guys are definitely, enjoying this content.